The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 17th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you, for I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise you.
Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's face it, it seems a little strange for us in our country today to think about Christian persecution. We here today are not likely to be burned at the stake, thrown into a den of lions, or beheaded for being a Christian. And as much as we may hate to admit it, this fact makes it hard for us to wrap our heads around our epistle reading for this morning. And yet Peter writes, Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange was happening to you. The fact is that persecution of Christians in one form or another has been the normal state throughout the entire history of the church. This morning, Peter is writing to us from Rome, just a few years before the end of his own life. Persecutions were common, usually insults, but still small local events. Often the persecution comes as people ridicule Christians for their new faith, for the big persecutions by the Roman emperor would not start for a couple of years after Peter's writing. But Peter is anticipating that day, and he's warning his believers, particularly fellow pastors, that they need to be prepared. You see, Peter makes the point that persecutions should not be viewed as strange. Rather, persecution is a normal state of being a Christian. Those who are of the world, that is, of the devil and the sinful flesh, will always hate those who turn to Jesus. Look at how Christians are treated today overseas, particularly in Africa. Even predominantly secular societies like Japan, where traditional religions have all but faded away, continue to resist the gospel. We here in America also experience our own unique form of persecution. If you claim to believe in a six-day creation, you are accused of not believing the science. Christians are arrested for praying outside of Planned Parenthood buildings, and we even get dismissed by fellow Christians when we say we here follow biblical truths when it comes to marriage and sexuality. Persecution coming from fellow Christians seems very strange, doesn't it? But God has a purpose in allowing such persecutions to happen. These are trials, Peter says, to test you. One can say that they are sent to purify the believer. But because we are always sinners, we are never pure enough. So Jesus is always striving to purify our hearts and minds. And in this way, we see the believer that is standing in faith shares in the life and death of Jesus. In persecution, the believer suffers and dies with Jesus. And then this relationship continues until eternity. And Satan knows this and will use such persecutions to trick or deceive the believer. Peter tells us that Satan prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But did you know that in the wild, the roaring lion is often the oldest, the weakest, and has usually lost his teeth? His roar creates fear in the prey, driving it into the path of the stalking hunting lions of the pride. The devil is the same way. A toothless lion, he can't actually harm us. His roar is to create fear, so that in such fear, we would turn our backs on Jesus and deny our faith. But God is using these same fiery trials for a purpose. In fact, they are his purpose. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and God rests upon you. Strange as it may seem, it's actually a great blessing to be counted worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus. However, suffering is not in itself to be viewed as a good thing. Peter is not speaking of physical ailments that we all deal with. He's talking about what people do to us because of our faith. In Peter's day, that could include floggings, imprisonment, even being put to death, all that Peter himself would experience. But these things could be done to anyone, couldn't they? If a person is caught stealing, they would be punished according to the local law. This is not a blessing. This is not a good thing. It is simply the way the system works. Therefore, as Christians, committing crimes is not how we show love for our neighbor. So Peter makes a clear distinction. Let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a meddler. If a person is arrested because he or she is a criminal, this is seen as just punishment. But if one is arrested because he or she is a Christian, this is worthy of praise before God. Strangely, though, some early Christian took Peter's word and the words of the other apostles so seriously that they went out of their way to get arrested and put to death in times of persecution. Now, while suffering for Jesus is a great honor for a Christian, it is an honor that we cannot seek out on our own. So the early church began to teach that Christians should avoid persecutions if they can do so without compromising their faith. In fact, to flee if possible, but if confronted and arrested, always confessing Jesus. As we read this, it almost sounds as if Peter is telling his readers that they have to suck it up and take one for the team, doesn't it? But that's not really what's happening here. What Peter is telling the Christians of his day, and so he's telling us also, is that we are preserved by Jesus in the face of such trials. We do not preserve ourselves. It is Jesus who keeps us from true harm. And what is true harm? True harm is denying Jesus. Since we cannot save ourselves, only Jesus can do that. If we deny him, we are lost to sin and death forever. So Peter reminds us that God is also our creator and is ever faithful to us, and that Jesus is no stranger to suffering. He gave his life on the cross so that we would never be separated from God, so we can entrust ourselves to God's care, even in the face of death. So then we need not lose faith. Rejoice insofar as you share in Christ's sufferings, that you may also receive and be glad when his glory is revealed. Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. Our sufferings are but a little while, but the glories of heaven last forever. Today, as we move out of the Easter season and into Pentecost, what we call the time of the church, we are reminded that Christians are always under pressure from the world. The world does not want to be confronted with its sin and its inhumanity. From the time of Peter, beginning with Stephen, until this very day, Christians are under attack. It's said that more Christians have been killed for their faith in the 20th century than all previous centuries combined. So the persecutions have not ended, and they will not, until Jesus returns for the final judgment. On that day, the world will be condemned. Those who rejected Jesus will be rejected by Jesus. And those who stand with Jesus will remain with Jesus forever. So as strange as it may seem to say, there is nothing strange about being persecuted, because Jesus, who suffered all, will always be right there with us. We will not be left alone in the time of these trials. Jesus will never abandon us, for he is our Creator and Redeemer. So as we close today, we praise our Lord for welcoming all those who gave their life in defense of their faith, and we thank him for the generous protection that he provides for us today.